For that. Well, let's turn our Bibles this evening to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, we looked last week, we're at 2 Kings chapter 5. We looked last week at the life and the miracle that God performed through the prophet, the prophet Elisha, on Naaman, right? On Naaman there in 2 Kings chapter 5. And we looked at, but there's more to this story. And as soon as I was done, and Brother Bob said, man, that you know, he was talking about the next part. I said, I think I'm going to preach that next week. And so we're going to really look at the rest of that story. There's more here and to it. Of course, there's other things. And the Old Testament is primarily history, right? We'll see these things and these accounts, and that we could see how people interacted with God. And there's a lot of lessons. The Bible talks about a lot. They were for our examples, right? They were examples to us, and we watch these people. Some things that some are good examples, some are great examples of faith, and others, and some are not so much so. So 2 Kings chapter 5, we're in verse 14. It says, then went he down, chapter 5, verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Let's pray together this evening. Father, we're asking for your hand of blessing and power instruction as we look at this passage tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use the things that we see here tonight to convict our hearts, to draw us, to, Lord, maybe to reprove and rebuke us in some areas and give us some correction. And Lord, pray that you would, Lord, help us to look towards you and your plan, your desire. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is this. Is it a time to receive? Is it a time to receive? So number one, God's blessings can't be bought. God's blessings can't be bought. So Naaman didn't receive this healing of the Lord because of his wealth or his position. Elisha wasn't saying, now who is this guy exactly? Oh, he's the captain of the Syrian army. Okay, yeah. I think that'd be a good fella to heal. Right? No, it wasn't because of his position, it wasn't because of that. Listen, when we come to God, if we're going to come to Him, it'll not be with our gifts, but with the only thing that is currency to the Lord. Right? There's only one thing that has currency, that anything that we can, I don't want to say, that anything that we could come to God with, and that is one, the only thing is faith. Only thing that God is interested in, the only thing that we can offer to Him is our faith. So what draws us nigh unto God is our faith and trust in Him. What God is looking for from us is for us to trust Him. Not because of, not to come with Him. You know, isn't it interesting that some folks and even us at one time would come to God and maybe barter with God with what value we have in our life. Look, God, I'll tell you what. If you'll do this for me, here's what I'll do for you. God's like, whoa, man, I'm getting a good deal. You know? Ain't none of us stood before God and God was thinking, man, if I could just get this guy or this lady, they would get saved, man. Whew! We could turn God was thinking with you and me. God said we could turn the world upside down. No. Listen, none of us come to God with anything we have to offer Him except faith. And that's what draws us nigh to God is faith and trust in Him. So Naaman here offered unto the Lord, offered unto the prophet of the Lord the gift that he had brought. The king had sent him with a huge gift. And listen, it wasn't an insult. So there's a thing in Sri Lanka. It's a funny thing. They have this word. The word you'd say it's pronounced estuti, which means thank you. But there's a singular word that estuti that means thank you, but you don't use it. It's kind of rude to say thank you to somebody. So if you do something for me and I say thank you, I'm saying you're like some customer or something instead of a friend or a brother, or because there's this kinsman thing. So you know, Americans come in, they walk around, tourists come, estuti. It's funny. Actually, they say stuti. You know, anyway, it's funny. And so, but in their culture, to thank somebody for doing something, I really want to thank you for that. It's really almost, it can be an insult. Of course, they give us a lot of grace with that because they know we're strange. But this wasn't Naaman wasn't insulting him. This wasn't a bribe. It was what he had to give. Often gratefulness unto God desires to give unto God. I've seen there was this time we were in a church, one of the first church where I was right after I got saved. We were there, and this couple was in our church. They're local, they just started coming to our church. Their parents came. One of the parents, I can't remember the whole story, but one of the parents came, and the parents were there. The dad put in a really substantial offering. And he just was like, just thankful to that church that his kids were there. You know, just gratefulness often moves people to do that. And so that's just what happens. When people are grateful to God, they want to give a gift. And listen, but Elisha was careful. He was careful to help this Syrian understand the difference of God from the many idols that Naaman and the Syrians were worshiping. See what Elisha wanted to do here is, I wanted to show you that something's different. You know, what I want visitors to know, if visitors come into our service, I want them to know, we don't invite you here so we can get some more money in the plate. Matter of fact, I said on Easter, when we have a big day, I want to let visitors know we're not, our offering is for our people to give unto the Lord. For you, we'd like you to put your card in so we can visit you later. Right? I want you to know, because, you know, a lot of people, all that church, all they ever want over there is money. Right? A lot of folks, that's their idea of church. They're going to come asking for offering, ask for giving and all this thing. And by the way, a lot of them do that. And so listen, Elisha was here wanting to make sure that there was something. Listen, when the prophet of God did something, it was for a purpose. It was for a reason. And undoubtedly, God had directed him in this thing. And so he wanted to show Naaman there's a difference between your idols that you've got to go and you've got to give offerings to, and you've got to go and sometimes give different things. And sometimes even some of those idols in those pagan nations, they wanted lives that they would offer unto them. You see? And he said, no, listen, we're not coming to give. God isn't looking to receive from us. He's the giver. And so this was a purposeful action. Verse 16, but Naaman said, but Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Listen, Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, I will not. That was really a declaration that there ain't no way on God's green earth that I'm going to take that from you. That's what he was saying. He said, do people talk like that? Well, it depends on where you're from. You know? And so he said, I ain't taking it. No way. And Naaman urged, oh, please take it. He said, no, not taking it. And so sometimes there's a time, and it was a purposeful thing. There's certainly times that people give offerings and gifts unto the Lord. But this time was purposefully different. Now, there's sometimes people want to give an offering and it's like, yeah, okay, you know, give an offering, we give this. But this was a time that was purposefully, I want you to see something. Look at verse 17 now. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. So, Naaman's zeal as a new follower of Christ had some odd thinking. So, he so wanted to only worship the Lord that he wanted some Israeli dirt to take back to worship God on. Yeah. No, he wanted to get, two mules burdens worth, however much two mules could hold, right? And all that dirt, he said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to lay that dirt out where I'm going to put that, and that's where I'm going to worship God, because that's how I'm going to worship on that dirt. You'd say, that's, Right? Can I say this? Obviously, God doesn't need a certain dirt to be worshipped on. Amen? God wants to be worshipped in Honduras, in America, in every nation of the world, unto the uttermost parts of the world. We don't have to take Israeli dirt there. Okay? We don't take American dirt there. Right? So this isn't the thing. But there's often some needless zeal that new believers have. Right, this zeal that's just like, man, I'm going to do this thing, and this seems to make sense, and this is right, and I want some dirt. I want to take that dirt back with me. All right, take some dirt. There's a place out back. Go get, dig a hole. All right, go ahead, take some of that dirt back. Listen, we ought not always be so quick to correct people that are trying to show their love for the Lord. Even if it's in ignorance and unnecessary. Sometimes what we want to do is somebody has some zeal to do something for God, and we want to start right now by, listen, let me put some buckets of water on that fire. That's not the way to do it. Let me tell you how we serve God around here. Right? You know what I'm saying? We could get to this kind of thing. I mean, there's some things that we can, and if somebody, hey, you better get you some dirt. If you're going to be worshiping God, if they start trying to teach everybody to bring dirt, we got a problem. But there's some zeal sometimes that comes. Man, I love zeal. Naaman had a real concern, you know. He was there. He was already, watch this, he was already thinking about what his new life as a follower of the Lord would look like. See what was happening? He had decided, this thing happened in his life. I'm telling you, sometimes we just miss what God's doing because we got our mind on something else. But here's what happened with him. He said, listen, this just happened. Now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm all in. I am never going to have a burnt offering to another, only the God of Israel. There's no other God but the God of Israel. You say, man, just because he got healed, I'm telling you, God did something in his heart that day. And he had already started thinking about, what's it going to be like when I get back home? I've told you about this before. I ran youth camps and I'd see these kids get all excited, fired up. Talk about, they'd come up and during the altar and you know, during the service, at the end of the service, they'd come back and say, they'd make a change. I've decided to do this. They'd have a thing at the end of the week. Friday night, I think they'd burn, or maybe it's Thursday night, we'd have a big bonfire, and they would take a stick and they would burn. You know, they would say, they'd give a testimony, you know, I've decided I'm giving this up for the Lord. And they'd all have this something there, making life-changing decisions for the Lord. And they'd throw that thing in the fire and, man, I'm giving that to the Lord. And then they would get home. And it all changed because they hadn't thought about going back to normal life. They thought about this bubble of, you know, Christian. Everybody there wants you to do right and everything's right. And there's all this sin is gone. And then you get back to there. But Naaman thought about that. He was thinking about what's going to happen. Look with me, verse 18. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. I absolutely love this in new believers. I do. I love this thing. It's missing in a lot of believers. It's really missing in a lot of believers. Planning ahead in our life and how living for the Lord is now going to affect it. He had already started working through his mind what he did, the decisions that he made, his salvation, how he was already thinking ahead, how is this going to affect my life? Wow. Amen. Man, that's a wonderful thing. He's thinking, okay, I just said I'm only going to worship God, but I have to do that thing because that's my job. Literally, you know, the captain of the army didn't just say, you know, I just thought I can't work here anymore. You got two choices. You know, so there was this thing, and we see this in some of the New and the Old Testament, some there, this thing, the one that the Jewish kings also did the same thing. There'd be somebody that leans upon their hand, and maybe his older ones, whatever. I'm not sure exactly the situation, but they'd be one, and they'd go in with them, and it'd be the king's right-hand man who would hold him, and they'd lean down. He says, so when he leans down, I got to go down. He said, but I'm not worshiping him. I'm not doing it. I've had kids that, we had kids in our school up there in Pennsylvania, and the family came from India. They were Hindus. And they came in to me and they said, Pastor, what do I do? My dad makes me go to the Hindu temple. And I have to go in there. What do I do? I said, you tell your dad no. No, I didn't say that. I said, listen, you know what I said? I said, there's this place in the Bible. This man came along and had to do that thing too. And God gave us a story of how we're to deal with this thing. You know what I'm saying? God gives this for us so that we can look to Him and say, God, what do I do? And I said, hey, here's the story that happened in the Bible. This fellow, he said, listen, I'm not going to worship that. I said, you go in there, and if your dad, you know, you sit, you obey. Because the Bible also says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, so you don't tell your dad no. Now, if he's making you go in there and make some offerings or make some sacrifices, doing something that's sin, then you say, Dad, I can't do that because of what God tells me. But if he's just going, he's just wanting to go along. I said, he goes on. You sit there and you sit there. I said, listen, I'll tell you what you could do. You could sit there and you could pray to God that your dad will get saved. I said, use that time that you're in there to pray for your family. Man, it was such a tough thing. And then his older sister, she was in my class. And it's a tough thing, man. It was hard. It was hard for me to understand that. There's a challenge. This is what Naaman was doing. He's coming up to this kind of situation. But I love this. He's thinking through what the future's going to hold. And how am I going to have to do this different? Verse 19. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. So he went off back to his country with a newfound faith. Whew, love this story. Love the story of Naaman. I mean, it's just hard, arrogant, prideful man. Good, honorable man, but still one, excuse me, your dirty rivers. I don't need them dirty rivers. We got our better rivers. His servant that says, Lord, wouldn't you? If he asked you to do something, wouldn't you do it? Would you? Somebody that loved him enough to just say, please try this. And he said, all right, I'll do it. And goes down and dips and comes up. Man, his life has changed. But then we have the end of the story goes on. It's not the end, it's the middle. The end. The next, number two, milking the ministry. Milking the ministry. Verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought, but as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. What a tragic conclusion to this wonderful story. We find this servant of Elisha, one that would have undoubtedly spent much time with Elisha. He seemed here to be disturbed that no wealth had been received from this Syrian. Upset. He spared him. Man, I can't believe you spared him. Man, thought we could at least cash in off him. The enemy of God. We should have at least got some of their wealth. Can you imagine the enemy of God that uses their wealth to build an army and build equipment to destroy you? Now you have a chance to take some of their wealth. It's like, at least we can get some money out of them. But Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, I will not. Refused. I could do that. There's a problem. This is what I want to say to you tonight, folks. There's a problem when anything becomes more important than the soul of man. No matter what it is, or who it is. There's nothing more important that we do than reaching people for Jesus Christ. By the way, I'm not saying if we got to sin to get it done, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's nothing in this world that's more important for us than to see somebody saved. And aren't you glad that was true when you got saved? Amen. So Gehazi decided he'd go run after Naaman and get some of that wealth. I'm going to go get me some of that. Look at verse 21. And so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is it well?" So Gehazi here was running with a tenacity that it seemed like there was a problem. You know, he's trying to catch up. I mean, he doesn't have no horse. He's running. They're going. They're at a slow pace. They're still taking back all this wealth they brought, right? They're going back and they got this entourage with them. And here he is booking down there running. And Naaman gets down off his, chariot. He said, "Is everything well? Is there, you know, what he say? Is there a problem? What's going on?" Can I tell you, there was a problem. Look at verse 22. And he said, "All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." What greed will do to people. What greed will cause in people. He didn't like how the man of God dealt with the situation. See that? He didn't like it. He said, this isn't, we shouldn't have let him off with this. We should have made him pay. You know, he's here. He's come. Should have took it. He said, "Listen, there's a problem." He said, "My master spared him." So he didn't like it. He didn't like how he was dealt with. And, so he was going to take it in his own hands to fix it. I'm sure God was pleased with that. Right? I'm sure God was pleased when God had used the man of God to do this work. He'd used this prophet to do this work. And his servant said, "This isn't right. You should have, you know, I'm going to go fix it by getting a little bit of that wealth." I'm sure God was up there in heaven thinking, "Man, praise Jesus for Gehazi." Right? The ministry of fixing things. You know, some people think that's their ministry. I'm going to go into churches and straighten out the preacher. I'm going to go and do this kind of thing. And he said, listen, one of the first things he does is to put words in the mouth of the man of God, suggesting, he's suggesting now, not suggesting, but declaring that Elijah was the one asking for these gifts. And he said in verse 22, he said, all is well. My master hath sent me. Liar! Saying, behold, even now they're coming. He's a liar. He's making up this story. Though just moments ago, can you imagine Naaman there? He sees the servant. Obviously, he knew who he was. And sees the servant running down at a pretty rapid pace and running. He said, hold on. Stop. Let me down. He gets down. He said, is everything okay? Is all well? He said, yeah, it's all well. It's all well, but my master sent me. There happened to be some young men come, and they need some clothes and some money. So he sent me to come get a little bit of that from them. Could you imagine Naaman sitting there thinking, oh, that's weird. All right, okay, yeah, that's what he wants. Look at verse 16 again. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he re-urged him to take it, but he refused. It's like, he just, all right. I'm not sure what the worst part about this whole thing is. Not only did he flat out lie, he made up a premeditated story. Can you imagine? I don't know if he thought about that. Maybe on the way, what am I going to say? And he's thinking through making up a story. Wow. Then lied about it even more. But listen, the worst part, here's the worst part. He detracted from the work of the man of God, who God just used to reach this man, who this man is now, watch this, taking that gospel truth back to another nation. Can I say maybe back to his family? Back to his home? Back to his people that he's with? No doubt this man is rejoicing. I mean, he's got some Israeli dirt with him. He's ready. You know what I'm saying? What is that risk here? Isn't money. It's the trust and the sanctity of the man of God. So often, when people get angry with God, it's sourced back to a pastor, which often is sourced back to what somebody said about a pastor. This is such a typical thing. Yeah, he said this and he said that. And somebody's building this story. Oftentimes there's this story and it becomes... And here's the thing. Naaman didn't have the opportunity to go back and check this out. And he said, okay, I'll take it. And he believes it. Third thing here is this. What's it worth? What is it worth? Look at verse 23. And Naaman said, be content. Take 2 talents. You only asked for one. You give, take it, man. I was going to give you all a bunch more. Just take it. Take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. So Naaman gave him all that he asked for and more. And he even sent his servants to carry it back for Gehazi so he didn't have to tote all this. Man, what a blessing. And he went back and hid the items in the house. I can't imagine there being much worse stuff than taking advantage of a new believer. You know that, and I didn't intend the story, but Lord brought it to my memory, that couple I was telling you about, that their parents came in and gave a big offering. And I think at that time the big offering was maybe like $1,000 or something. It was, you know, it was a small church. And it was just, you know, 20, 25 years ago. And it's getting up to 30 years. Well, time flies. And so there was another couple people in the church. There had been some bickering and gossiping, and some folks left the church, some other left the church. They ended up pulling this young couple, that newly saved, ended up pulling them out of the church with them. They got out of church, they went and started a new church. That new church lasted, I think, 6 months. And you know what happened to all those people? Scattered. Didn't come back. Didn't get back to church. I thought, man, I remember thinking about that. I thought that they were just getting started. And the parents were so excited about it. And maybe the reason they were so excited is because what was going on. And now here it is. Situation is over. And I just can't think of anything that would be much worse than taking advantage of a new believer is what's happening here. And so he went and got that stuff, brought it back, stuck it in his house, and hid it in there. Then he sent them on their way. Like, guys, appreciate the help. Everything was working out just as he planned. I mean, he sat there and thought, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this. And I'm just a little bit thinking, this guy kills people for a living. You know what I mean? He kills people for a living. Is that the guy you want to go and tell stories to? Greed has a different, man, greed has a way about it. So he goes and tells them, and they go, and he's like, it worked. He's like, can you imagine? I don't know. I can't really imagine, because I'm thinking I am scared to death the whole time. Because there's a lot of stuff here that you're going to, who are you going to tick off worse? He obviously didn't think Elisha was going to figure it out. He figured, I can deceive this guy. He's real happy with this. And you know who he wasn't thinking was paying attention? The one that's eyes are everywhere. And he thought, no, he won't get, but he didn't think about any of that stuff. Because greed blinds us, right? He gets this thing and he says, you know, I've got this going on. This is going to be good. I got it. It's worked. Got back, hid his stuff in the house. Look at verse 25. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elijah said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. No. I just been around here doing my stuff. My servant stuff. You know, I've been doing the stuff, you know, sweeping out the stable and, you know, just, I didn't go anywhere. I mean, if you know anything about Elisha, which he should have known about Elisha, we've seen a lot of really dumb things in the Bible, people did. I'm glad we don't do stuff like that. Y'all know I'm being facetious right there, okay? And so he says, no, where'd you go? No, I've been right here. I just right here. I didn't go nowhither. Verse 26, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Elisha says, is it a time to get what you wanted? Is that what time this is? When God is doing a work among men, is it a time to cash out? Look, it was the captain of the army of the enemy that was now a follower of the God of Israel. I'm telling you, if there's anybody I'd want saved, it'd be that guy. I mean, listen, you want the guy in the war room that's about to come and kill you to get saved. All of a sudden, it's like, man, could you imagine the chatter? If I was Gehazi, I'd be going, man, you know what happened? You know what happened? The captain of the host of Syria got saved. He is now a follower. He said he's only going to worship God. I mean, it was amazing. Man, it was amazing to be a part of it. I'm glad I just got to be there. Man, it was amazing. No. Instead of watching what God was doing, he wanted to cash out. You know, well, I could actually, this could work out for me. What did God that our president, maybe some Senate leaders, other military or government leaders would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you even imagine? Could you imagine if President Joe Biden came on that news press, we're all like, oh man, what's this guy going to say this time? And he said, I just want to let y'all know I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I've just decided from here on out, I'm going to live for Him. And could you imagine, say, well, can we get a bigger tax break then? You know what I'm saying? I mean, man. Would it be a time to receive money, to extort, and to get what we could? Man, I could cash in off this guy. He's a Christian now. Man, there's so much more value in a new believer in the kingdom of God than what they can give us. And so much more value. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Look at verse 27. The leprosy there, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Hey, by the way, that's not a snow leopard. That's a leper. Remember that disease that your skin melts off you, fingers drop off. This is a Bible story that just doesn't end well. The servant of the prophet, God, should have been closest to the Lord. Got to see. You know, it's so interesting. People say, well, if I've just seen God do something. No, it hasn't really worked out that way through the Scriptures. If I could just see God. No, because what happened is as soon as you would see something, you'd say, if I could just see something else. If I could just see this. Listen, to see something is not currency with God. It's to trust Him. It's to trust Him. Not a one of us are too spiritual to not need to be exhorted by the Word of God. There's not one of us in here that says, well, I'm already there. Can you imagine that fellow that wrote a few books, you know, the Apostle Paul? Can you imagine that fellow at the end of his life, what God used him to do? He said, yeah, I think he got shipwrecked a couple times, right? Stoned to death, left for dead, bitten by snakes, and I mean, just all kinds of stuff. Thrown in prison. And he said, oh yeah, and above all that, the care of the churches. You know what he said? You know, all that stuff, man, I got whipped, beat, all that stuff, but the care of the churches, that's, beating on me is one thing, dealing with people. You know what he said? At the end, towards the end of his life, he said, not as though I have attained. He said, but you know, he said, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he said? I'm not done yet. And he was just about done. He said, I'm not done yet. There's still a little more I'm going toward. I'm just pressing. the cost, I'm telling you folks, is just too high. I want to just take a quick look at who was affected by this sin, and then we're going to be done. We're going to be done on the hour. 4 minutes. Y'all said, don't worry about the time. I don't know. Sorry. It's just who I am. Okay? One day you're going to be like, don't play. No, so if I come in here at like, you know, at like 6:10, you're going to be like, preacher, you should worry about the time. So, okay. So first of all, it was Gehazi. Was affected by this sin. He's going to end his life a leper. Can I tell you, he wasn't going to get healed. God allowed that leprosy. You say, well, how does God take it from somebody who's already healed? Because he's God. And he put that on him. He was going to be cast out of the community of people. One that was in the midst of the man of God living in the house with him, just to be part of this thing, now he would be cast out the outskirts of the city. The rest of his life, he was going to end his life separated from church because of this thing. His family. His family is going to be marked by this sin forever. That's what's said. That's it. Oh, that guy. Greedy. I mean, you know, sometimes you feel bad for people to get some sickness or disease. Not this guy. Nor his family. How about Naaman? What questions arose in his heart and mind as he pondered this strange course of events? He said, as I stand before the Lord, as the Lord live, I'm not taking anything. And then he asks me for... These people are crazy. I wonder how many people that have left the Baptist church and went and talked to somebody else about it, they'd say, man, those Baptists are crazy. You know what I'm saying? What about Naaman's servant? The servants, maybe even the one that encouraged Naaman to follow the man of God's instruction, who was the one watching Gehazi hide that stuff in the house. Many people are affected by our sin. I wish we were an island sometimes. I wish we were. We could do something and it affected no one. That's not how it works. It's one of those preachers yesterday said the same thing I often say is this deal of, you know, this thing about gossip. You know, one person says something to the other person, right? They get over it, but that person is destroyed. You know, I've seen people that go home and say, well, yeah, you know, the preacher said this and that and the other thing. And now last week they was trying to see their husband or wife or children get saved. But the next week they're talking about how bad the preacher. You really need to come to my church. Yeah, the preacher's a jerk. Song leader can't sing. You know, the sound guy's always making noises. You know, like, so that's the one you want me to go to? Well, next week I want you to go, but this week I want to complain about it. Man, I'm telling you, I wish we were all an island. Didn't affect anything. We could just do our own thing. It's not the way it works, is it? It's never worth it. It's never worth it. Is it a time? I hate ending messages on this kind of note. But the Bible does sometimes. We walk out and realize, listen, we're not an island. What we do, what we do matters. What we do matters. Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you'd help us. Lord, help us to, Lord, as we rejoice about the wonderful, wonderful thing you did in Naaman's life. Maybe change the course of a whole nation. Maybe just a family. Certainly in the life of this man. And yet, Lord, as we continue and see the story, those closest, those in the midst of the man of God and the work of God, spoiled it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to desire to want to be what you want us to be, Lord. Lord, help us tonight that we might realize my sin, my decisions, my focus on anything other than what your purpose is affects people. Or there ain't no way we can talk to somebody else about these things without it affecting them. Lord, help us tonight, and we'll thank you.